A key Unitarian theological idea is that we must be free to exercise our reason when we open any ancient scriptures considered wise or holy. Why? Because they were written by people who lived in a world vastly different from our own. And they are only useful to us when read in the light of our own experience of living and moving in our part of the cosmos. Spirituality can be understood as an undertaking by us to examine, shape, and care for both our own lives and the lives of those around us. And we do that in order to achieve more wholeness, satisfaction, depth, and meaning. Augustine Martin, in his introduction to Soundings, the book of poetry all of us who sat the Leaving Cert had in our lava, quoted Irish poet James Stephens in the introduction. And I certainly didn't read it back then, and I don't remember the teacher ever referring to it, but I think it's a gem. For the poet is not singular nor unique. If he has memories, they are shared by us. And if he has poesy, so we have all. Unless delight is behind the writer of even a sad tale, his very sadness will be untrue. For it is the function of the artist to transform all that is sad, all that is ugly, all that is real, into the one quality which reconciles the diversities that trouble us, into pure poetry. Can we be like those artists, seeking to reconcile those diversities that trouble us and create pure poetry? There is something of wisdom here. I seek wisdom in order to live a meaningful, fulfilled life. And I wish that life is abundant for all who inhabit this beautiful planet. Now, how did I come to that statement? The study of the history of God is undertaken in an effort to understand the meaning of life. We may ultimately reject the notion of a creator, a first mover, the source of all that is above and under the heavens. But that study is undertaken anyway. Humanity has been doing it since the dawn of time. I will talk of God and Jesus today, not because I believe these are crucial beings in our search for wisdom, but because talk about them has informed much of our Western systems of belief and discourse, as Bart Ehrman said in our reading. About Jesus. Long ago, I left behind what I was taught was the truth about what his story means for humanity, but more relevantly, for me. There were interpretations which, at worst, led to doctrines which led to oppression. And when monarchs, empires, and governments colluded with these interpretations, freedom was limited, dissent punished. What I'm trying to do is trace something of how thinking about the meaning of this man's life was developed by Unitarians. It is quite the journey, and we are the ancestors. Emerson viewed Jesus as a brilliant poet, a prophet who understood the true divinity of the human soul. "Cast behind you," he said, "all conformity." And today, even though he moved away from the Unitarian movement, he is embraced as a huge influence on Unitarian thought and practice, and even on liberal religion in general. Now, having said all of that, many scholars would suggest that the first Christians, those who wrote the stories about Jesus of Nazareth, weren't trying to write history at all. They didn't think the way we do about timelines and facts or documenting the past. Their imagination lived in the world of myth, not history. Sacred ideas rather than true facts, where the sacred burst into everyday life. Yes, there were historical references, but these were markers, not to document events, but to make the story feel close, exciting, and even believable. It was the meaning of these stories that was of utmost importance. Wisdom is not necessarily faith. It's more of an intuition that there is some truth in a given utterance or realization of something following an experience. And when each day is new and every experience unique, our ideas and our opinions change. As I live and learn, my experience of the world changes, and so do my ideas, my beliefs, and my opinions. A rigid, baseless adherence to routine or conformity stifles intellectual and spiritual growth. Emerson warned against sticking to an idea or a habit or belief simply because you've always done it that way. He said, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment." Excellent advice to our children who struggle to form their own ideas and meaning in the face of toxic online content. The Reverend Bill Darlison, minister here for many years, wrote in The Gospel and the Zodiac, "Emerson wasn't interested in what people didn't believe, in the difficulties they had with the doctrines or the dogmas that they had inherited from the past. Tell me the truth as you see it. Tell me what life has taught you and is teaching you, or keep quiet about religion altogether." Emerson was focused on God right now, not God back then, the God spoken of in Holy Scriptures. He wasn't dismissing as irrelevant the biblical stories, but how they were interpreted. For he did not subscribe to the idea that the Bible was the final, exclusive word of God or a book of literal historical miracles. "Don't seek the divine in lifeless and stale cathedrals," he recommended. "Seek the divine in nature. That is where the divine energy will flow through you." And I hope Emerson wouldn't consider this place a lifeless and stale cathedral. But Emerson knew the Hindu scriptures. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is written, "Just as a reservoir is of little use when the whole countryside is flooded, scriptures are of a little use to the illumined man or woman who sees the Lord everywhere." Curiosity, together with a view that the paths of faith and wisdom runs through many lands and cultures, is one of the Unitarian traits that constantly challenge orthodoxy. I like that. If we choose to embark on that path, we commit to a lifetime of discovery, changed minds, and deeper insights. This is an invitation to seek out the wisdom literature of all of the other great world traditions and philosophies. Now, on this side of the Atlantic, another Unitarian was encouraging people away from dry rationalist dogmas and treating the Bible as once for all repository of truth. And that was James Martineau, minister here in Dublin for a while. It was he who said that it was in human conscience that the divine speaks to us. The whole thrust of Jesus' life, he suggested, was to show us that the divine spirit is manifest in all of humanity. Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, was at one with God. Jesus, he said, is every person, every creature, both living and dead. God is not up there somewhere above, far away in the heavens. Rather, God is present within. So we look within to discover the divine, the sacred presence in each living thing. You will see a pattern here. Unitarians have a habit of approaching the Bible very differently from other religious traditions. And over time, as biblical scholarship grew and religious freedoms were extended, Unitarians did settle on a couple of theological ideas that came from their reading of those scriptures. And you know them: the unity of God, the inherent goodness of humanity, and the humanity rather than the deity of Jesus. And as the legal restrictions of speaking in such terms fell away, Unitarians encouraged people to allow their minds the freedoms that the universal church would not allow. This courage, this sacred curiosity, has come down to us here today. If we have a common trait or heritage, it is that. And we continue to seek wisdom wherever it may lead us. More recently, Saville Hicks, who was minister here for over 50 years, he went further. And he actually suggested that rather than believing less than people from the Christian tradition, Unitarians actually believe more, specifically in what he termed God's greater scriptures, the totality of our lives, the authority of our experiences, and the knowledge, together with all of the wisdom we have discovered by learning from other traditions, not just Christianity. And that means that people will reject the notion of an all-powerful and creator God. And that is valid. It is true and must have expression in any free spiritual community like ours. We embrace what I like to call the belief spectrum. If nothing else, the Unitarian soul fears having their mind forced to conform. This means that there is diversity of belief. Agreement is not sought in matters of faith. Rather, agreement is sought in the manner of our searching. The search, we say, is the sacrament. And the absence of agreement, as might be contained in a creed, is not evidence of disunity, but evidence of a sacred curiosity. And this is real, and it's something that is as crucial as gravity. In one of my first addresses from this pulpit many years ago, I told you about a dream I had where I was arrested right here in our sanctuaries, charged with the crime of heresy. I think today I might have provided irrefutable evidence for heresy. But since that dream, I have attempted to interpret it. Dreams are thought, as you know, to be our unconscious thoughts making their way into our conscious mind. They might be about personal fears, our mind trying to sort out the issues of the day. Was it fear that was present in that dream? Perhaps it was that I would be indeed imprisoned, but not in a physical cell, but in a spiritual or intellectual imprisonment, where my mind is forced to conform, all dissent quenched, and the flame of that chalice, with all it represents, extinguished. The religious freedom we cherish in this community must never be taken for granted. We had a Zen Buddhist master here yesterday for a public talk. And he said that the four great prophets of the world, and I think I have this correct, the Buddha, Confucius, Jesus, and Muhammad, spoke very similar messages. Firstly, the golden rule is paramount. And they all placed a moral emphasis on compassion, justice, and finally, inner peace. The world on its surface is like an ocean subject to great storms, often disturbing and always changing direction. It is within our minds we can find a peaceful calm and inner peace. And there we can reconcile what James Stevens called the diversities that trouble us. Not the diversities of color and language and culture or religion, but the diversities brought about by the chaotic and sometimes irreconcilable elements of human experience, the tensions between good and evil, joy and sorrow, beauty and the not so beautiful. The paths of faith and wisdom do indeed run through many lands and cultures. So finally, I'd like to share with you some verses from the Tao Te Ching, written by Lao Tzu, a contemporary of Confucius. Some say that my teaching is nonsense. Others call it lofty but impractical. But to those who have looked inside themselves, this nonsense makes perfect sense. And to those who put it into practice, this loftiness have roots that go deep. I have just three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. Simple in actions and in thoughts, you return to the source of being. Patient with both friends and enemies, you accord with the way things are. Compassionate towards yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. All the great wisdom traditions of the world encourage us to look within and embrace life and all that can be learned from living well. And so we embark on a lifelong quest for wisdom. May that journey bring you new insights, and fueled by your sacred curiosity, may you be led to inner peace to live a meaningful life, abundant with love, joy, and hope. Amen.